Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus tells his church to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Teaching the faith is how the church makes disciples. And in this day and age, I often find myself in a very ironic position whenever I teach the faith. You see, because rarely do I get an opportunity to teach unbelievers. Often I'm teaching Christians what Christians believe. Lutherans, what Lutherans believe. That is, in fact, the point of a sermon, to preach our beliefs. And so if somebody who confesses Christ says, "Well, I believe that people are basically good," I'd say, "No, you don't. You're a Christian, and you believe in original sin. You believe that everyone is basically evil apart from God. And even when delivered from sin and death in baptism, you still have your old sinful self to contend with. That is what Christians believe. That is what you believe." Teaching people what they believe, it seems like a strange thing, but that's how Christ builds his church. Teaching people what to believe is odd, only because you and I have been trained to think that beliefs are just a matter of personal taste, that they come from within you. And so the idea that you need to be taught outside of yourself, you need to be taught what you should believe, especially in matters of religion and spirituality, and more increasingly things like gender and sex, well, that's just brainwashing. But the truth is, if your brain is dirty, the only thing to do is wash it. And ever since Adam condemned mankind to sin, we are born dirty. Brain, body, and soul. And so pastors and ministers of Christ are, by his command, in the business of brainwashing. But we do not just wash people's brains. We are called to wash all of them, body and soul, as Ephesians 5:26 says, through the washing of water and the word. Yet you and I live in a world that is immersed in the idea that you don't let people tell you what you believe. You choose. And it has gotten to the point that you can, to the point that you get to choose your own gender. And in the world's reckoning, choosing what to believe about God is the same sort of decision as choosing what color socks to wear or what music to listen to. Not that they would say they're equally as consequential, but they're the same sort of decision. It's from within you. We live in a world that says life is a restaurant, and there's a whole menu of acceptable religions and beliefs for you to choose from. But the truth is this: you don't choose your beliefs. Your beliefs have chosen you. Jesus' church isn't the only one teaching you what to believe. The world has a curriculum all its own in order to raise you and yours up to be its children. The world's children. The world wants to market to you and sell to you a God. It can even be the true God. The world doesn't mind if you want to own the true God, so long as you are buying him from the marketplace of the world. You see, the world wants to be the sole mediator between God and man, the gatekeeper, the ferryman you have to pay to cross the river to God, the guard who collects the toll before you cross the proverbial bridge. The world wants to sell you a God. And it doesn't like it when the word of the true God comes to people apart from it. That's what Jesus means by his little parable of the children in the marketplace. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace. And calling to one another, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. You see, when God's true message is sung to the world spins it as though it's evil, and as though it's wrong, and tells people not to dance to it. Because the world wants to be the piper. And the world wants to pick the tune. And so it will reject God's tune every time. But wisdom's children will hear. John the Baptist came preaching the word of God without wearing the makeup of the world, without brand sponsorship, without selling out. He fasted and had no possessions and preached about the end of the world. And people came to hear John's message. Even though he wasn't sponsored by the Pharisees and the scribes, at that time, the CEOs of the religious world. Wisdom's children were hearing the word of God from John directly. And so the Pharisees began to sabotage John's campaign, spinning his actions and subverting his motives, saying, "Don't weep. We don't need repentance. We're Abraham's children. We are safe. This man has a demon. Don't listen to him." Even though he and his disciples were fasting and weeping. Then came Jesus preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, just like John did. Only Jesus preached the coming kingdom not as a funeral song, but as a wedding song. John preached in the minor key, but Jesus came with a joyful tune. His song was in the major key, the Hallelujah chorus. John and his disciples fasted in mourning. Jesus and his disciples feasted in celebration. Jesus said, "Repent, here comes the kingdom of God, my kingdom. And you see my kingly reign as I release the captives, bind up the brokenhearted, as I mobilize the lame and cleanse the lepers, and as I preach good news to the poor. So eat, so drink, so be joyful and celebrate while the bridegroom is still with you." But the hired hands, the Pharisees and the scribes, spin the story again to twist Jesus' joy into some sort of crass indulgence in the hopes of stealing the sheep. They say he's a sinner, he's a glutton, he's a lush. You see, they are the children of this generation, the world's children. Those who would say that you have to get God on the world's terms. They are the world's children, thieves and robbers who do not come in by the gate. Or go the narrow way. But the sheep, wisdom's children, Jesus' children, did not listen to them. And that's why the world hated him. They could not make them weep with the law or dance with the gospel because the voice was not the shepherd's tune. And they knew it. Jesus preaches the gospel, the salvation of sinners with no fancy packaging. Without dressing up the message for the window shoppers of the world. And still, wisdom's children accept it, and it makes the world upset. Because it didn't get it from them. God's children accept it. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me," says Christ, who is the wisdom of God. He says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." And so 2,000 years ago, in the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, before you were even born into this world, Jesus Christ came into this world and poured out his blood on the cross for your sins, snatching you from the devil's hand and paying the debt for them. And that victory on the cross was poured out onto you in the new birth of the washing of water with the world, snatching you out of the world, God claiming you as his own. In baptism, Jesus called you out of the world to be his children, wisdom's children, to hear the tune of the good shepherd and the teaching of all he commanded. And when you are washed by Christ, you are remade in his image. Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Through believing the folly of Christ crucified, you are wisdom's children, because by the Holy Spirit given you in baptism and in teaching the word, you have heard God's word and have not rejected it. You have seen the cross and not stumbled over it. You kneel before it. And therefore, friends, children of wisdom, remember, this Advent and always, you don't need to purchase from the world what you have freely inherited from God through Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.